You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
What we want.
You're listening to On the Couch.
On the Couch.
With Dr. Michelle. On LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, baby, we made it. It's another beautiful day in LA. Or wherever you're coming from. Hopefully it's beautiful. And if not, out there in your head. This is Dr. Michelle with you. And welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Take your shoes off, put your feet up as usual, as I always say, and kick back on my couch. Because we're going to have a great subject today. We're going to be talking to the founder and, of course, host of his own show right here on LA Talk Radio, Alan Cardoza. And I'll tell you more about him in just a sec. First of all, we're just getting warmed up for today. And listen, I want you to become involved. If you'd like to call in on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Just like to get into that music, kind of warms me up a little bit. Hope you tell. All right, we're fading down slowly. There we go. All right. Usually on the couch, we talk about being on the couch. You know, shrinking and problems and issues and things like that. No matter what they are, that's what I do. I do a lot of relationship stuff. I also work individually with folks, families, groups, things like that. You can find me, by the way, if you'd like, on my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy. That's drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. That way you can know a little bit more of what I'm about and get my philosophies. And, of course, you can contact me if you have any questions or whatever. If you'd like to write me anonymously a question and I can answer it on the show, I'll get back to you, let you know when I'm going to answer the question. And, of course, if you'd like to be live on the air, you don't have to identify yourself either. You can be stealth or give me a fake name. If you just have something going on, we can talk. The number here on the air, live, 323 is the area, and that number is 203-0815. 323-203-0815. So if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. It's always nice to hear from folks out there. And we're trying to kind of talk about the subject today of teens, runaways. I know, parents who have teens, you like shudder. You go, ay! You know, their bodies have been taken over by aliens. You know, they hit 14, maybe 13. I think when my son hit 13, I think he turned into an alien or was, you know, abducted or something in his brain because he was truly a different person. It's the hormones and it's the peer pressure and it's all that stuff that goes on with them, the changes, as you know. We have a specialist today. We, as in On the Couch with Dr. Michelle Group. And of course, you hear him every Monday at 11 o'clock in the morning. He's got his own show called Answers for the Family, and it's Alan Cardoza. Alan, thank you for coming on my show today.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you. I mean, I love listening to your show. You're up, baby.
Oh, okay.
You're up.
That's great. It's just funny. I'm not used to sitting on this side. Yeah. So it seems like I hear things a little differently now.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different orientation on the other side of the studio.
That's right.
But it's nice to have you with
us. Well, thank you. And by the way, I got an email this morning from one of my friends who was responding to the press release, and they said, wow, that sounds cool. You're going to be on the couch with Dr. Michelle? He said, she's hot.
Oh, thank you. Don't let your girlfriend know. Actually, I know your girlfriend, so she trusts me.
And she trusts me,
she
too.
She knows me. Good. See, that's how it works.
Exactly.
So we're all cool here. But we are indeed on the couch.
That's right.
And it's wonderful how Sam has laid out our studio so we can be on the couch here with the microphones in the studio. This is theater of the mind. I'm just working it for the people. I'm just letting their minds go crazy. Let me just introduce you to, as I mentioned, Alan, folks, is founder of West Shield Adolescent Services. And you are also a licensed private investigator.
Yes,
for
I am.
30 years, honey.
Yes, I am.
Wow. So, and also what you do is you have a transporting service. You help locate runaways, teens, young adults. Mm-hmm. And also you provide and refer crisis intervention. You know, and I love your little thing here. It says, transporting teens to a better future. What a great idea.
Well, that's we hope.
Yeah, no, exactly. But so let's talk about that a little bit. I have a lot of input from listeners who have had teens who've run away.
Mm-hmm.
I have letters from kids who've run away and why. And I have some information, too, to help folks out, parents, think about what's going on, because it's the scariest thing in the world.
That's right. And I am at your disposal.
Okay, cool. All right. Now, that's great, too. And mm-hmm. we'll give everybody your referral number so they can get help as well.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about, a little bit more, and so everybody else can get a feel. What does West Shield Adolescent Services provide?
Well, we provide a variety of services, but I mean, probably the first part is locating the runaways. So
yes.
if you're in a situation out there, your child runs away, it is not safe for them to be on the streets. It wasn't 20 years ago, and it's certainly not now.
Right. Oh, man.
So it's from the standpoint of specializing in locating them. In other words, we have investigators who are trained. We know how to do it. And because of the fact that we have a very young staff, it allows us to go out and sort of infiltrate those situations. You know, we can get close to their friends, learn the information that now myself as a parent can't get. I can't walk up to a group of 15-year-olds and get them to tell me where Johnny is.
That's right.
But
we have
employees that can that are 19, 20, 22-year-old females that go in and start talking to the boys, and before know it, they want to tell them anything.
There you are. Smart man. That's a very smart man. So give me a scenario. Okay, let me just let's set this up. My son he's 15,
mm-hmm.
and he's gotten really angry because he's having problems in his life with his friends. His girlfriend just dumped him. And he feels like he's not getting any support. He can't talk to me or his dad because we won't understand. And one of his classes is really hard, and one of his teachers is really mean. He's getting a D, and he's just done. And we are nagging him, saying, you've got to study. You've mm-hmm. got to think about the future. You've got to do this. And he's been kind of hanging around with some friends who, you know, don't think smoking pot every day after school is too bad. And so he says, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm gone. And he runs away, and we don't hear from him. We say, fine. We try to plead with him to stay, and then he runs away. And it's 5 hours later, and now we're calling the cell, of course, and now he's never picking up.
Right.
Now we're calling all of his friends. They don't know where he is. Probably some do.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls, all the guys, neighbors. Then we're really reaching out and starting to push out there, and we can't call the police yet, right?
Well, you can call the police, but they're not going to do anything
at
that point.
Ah, okay.
But one of the things is that as a parent, when you're making those calls, let those people know, let those other kids know you want to hear back from them. You know, if one of the mistakes that parents make is they call up and they go, look, you better tell me, fill in the blank, and it's just not going to work.
No.
But if you just call and you tell them, we just want them to know that we love them.
Yeah.
And that we miss him.
Yep.
And that we really need to hear from him. We need to know that he's okay.
Yep.
Okay. That opens the lines of communication. That, as the first step, will put these other kids in a position of feeling like, well, you know what? I would hope that my parents would do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so now they're feeling more comfortable. They're synergizing a little bit with you.
Right.
And the ones that don't know, they may turn around and start talking to the other ones and go, hey, you know what? I just heard that Johnny's not home, and he hasn't been home in 6 hours.
Right.
Where is he? Now you have these little investigators working for you.
Right.
They're
exactly.
gathering the information because they'll send that message.
Mm-hmm.
They won't send the message of, you're in trouble. You better get your ass over here.
Right, right. Exactly. No, that's really clever. And that's how they think, too. That's how they work a lot of times.
So.
Yeah. So.
And then from that standpoint, and what we run into a lot is when you say that the parent has tried to talk to them and they've mm-hmm. taken off anyway.
Right.
We run into it more from the standpoint that the parents woke up and they're gone.
Right.
There wasn't any dialogue.
Exactly.
The child
missing.
Didn't feel like they were going to have any positive dialogue with their parents, so they didn't bring up any. They just disappeared. Now it's so much more difficult as the parent because you really don't know what happened. You hope that they've just run away, but you don't really know. You don't know that they weren't abducted. You don't know that they didn't, you know, sneak out, go to a rave, and something happened to them, and they got hurt, and they just couldn't come
home.
That's
right. That's right.
So that, and that's why it's so important that the first message is we just need to know that they're okay.
Exactly. And that's the really important thing. Not we're kind of going to come and get you. We're going to send the police. Right. We're going to arrest you. That's really kind of good fear. But sometimes they want to stay away even longer.
But it's
longer.
Not productive.
Exactly.
That's the thing. And right. I get so many parents that go, I told him if he does this again,
right.
I'm sending him off to a program in Utah and I'm going to do this.
Oh,
and I went,
gosh.
You know, you've now made our job a little more difficult.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's really going to be hard to find him because all of his friends have communicated that
that's
been put out there. So. Exactly. So that is a scary thing. So where you guys come in is you would or will field those calls and get that information.
Right.
And then you as a private investigator will get your team up and running and get out there and try to find where those kids are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start talking to their friends. As I said, we're going to maybe infiltrate their groups.
Right.
Depending on where we think they've gone. If they've run away from home in the past, and
right.
we know that, for instance, you have somebody that lives in California, but they've only been here maybe 2 or 3 months, and they're from another state, odds are they're going to try to get back to that group of friends. And if they are, how are they going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, plane, train, automobile,
right.
bus.
Right.
You know, so we're going to hit the bus stations, the train stations, whatever it is we need to do.
Right, right. And you know, I was reading this survey done by the National Runaway Switchboard, mm-hmm. and you guys have access to all this stuff too. And they were talking about the kids who call, you know, the mm-hmm. service. And it indicates that, and these are fuzzy numbers, but like 16% of runaways have been abused, you know, physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever. And we get that. And it's probably a lot higher number. The kids are just done and they don't know how to handle it. You know, they have their teens' hormones going on. They have all the stressors that you and I now can deal with, of course, but we didn't when we were 16, 15, 14, whatever. But they just book because they don't know how to cope with their parents' drug abuse or whatever mm-hmm. issues. And they have more understanding friends who can take them away and, you know, help them.
And I think with that statistic, I think there's two sides to that statistic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the one side of, as you say, there's a lot of kids that aren't going to report that they were abused.
Right.
The other side of that statistic is that unfortunately there are some of these group homes and such that once they get there,
right.
They will talk to them and almost, you know, lead them towards the fact that there was abuse.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying all of them. I mean,
no,
there's a lot of great group homes and such.
Oh, yeah.
But we've also run into situations to where a child who took off initially
right.
said that they hadn't been abused. And then after they got somewhere, they said, well, I was told if I say this,
of course,
I'm going to get better treatment. I'm going to get, you know, better whatever it is that they're looking for.
Right, right, exactly.
So, but in either case, it still puts them in a situation that's not good for them, either mentally
right.
or physically.
Right, exactly. So I was just also reading stuff about why teens run away. And again, most teens, they're not bad kids. I mean,
absolutely.
They really are still children. Their minds are childish. I can't believe some of the things that I hear from some of these teens who come in and see me and email me or whatever. They just, you know, and they're still, I'm sorry guys out there, teens, but parents are going, yeah.
Yep.
They're still kids. They're still children. They don't have the rational abilities because of those hormones and because of the lack of life experience to figure it out and say, you know what, if I just sit here and really try to figure it out, get a support group maybe, mm-hmm. if I have an abusive parent, talk to one of the parents who might be okay, talk to an aunt, an aunt, or a mm-hmm. grandparent, or some kind of a support person in my life who can help me through this. Rather than just book and say, I'm done and this is how I'm going to solve my problems.
Well, you're absolutely right on two points. One is that communication is absolutely the key. And,
right.
And the other point that you brought up about
right.
people's perception, sort of, well, there are people whose perception is, well, these are a bunch of bad kids
right.
and we have to do that.
Right.
And because I transport these kids to various programs,
right.
I'm on planes a lot with the kid.
Right.
And we have shirts that we wear that say, that have the name of our company. It
mm-hmm.
says West Shield Adolescent Services, as you said, transporting
right.
teens to a better future.
Right.
I'm seated next to a woman on one side of me
yep.
who looks at my shirt and says, I know you. I've heard about you.
Uh-oh.
You're that guy. You pick up those runaways and those bad kids and you take them to programs to get them fixed. And I
yeah.
turned and looked to her and I said, actually, ma'am, that's not correct.
Hmm.
What I deal with are good kids that have made some bad decisions.
Exactly.
And I think that drives it home the most is that the perception versus the reality.
Exactly. Instead of facing their problem, they escape from it. And that's usually the kid, children, teen way of doing it. They book and they go away. They choose to run from it. And what we need to do for parents, too, mm-hmm. I think, is we need to teach our teens, learn how to face their problems. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of parents are just really scattered these days. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to talk to their kids. They don't know how to manage their kids. But if they kind of go within, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, right. and take a look at their own stuff and what they're projecting out, it's really hard to figure out what your teen is thinking. Really difficult. You never can.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Not only can't you figure what they're thinking, but how about reach back in your own memory
exactly.
and think about what you were like at that
right.
age.
Right. And that's the whole thing. I find my son personally, who's 16, mm-hmm. says to me, Mom, I know you don't understand or remember when you know, believe it or not, I do. I mean, I'm not that old. I mean, I do recall things that I did. I lied. I used to sneak out. I'd say, I'm hanging out with my girlfriend. We're going to have a sleepover. And I'd go out with boys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd do a lot of stuff like that. Never did run away, though. But, I mean, truly, most teens, if they're functioning out there in the world in a social environment, will, at one time at least, lie. And we all have. And we do get ourselves in trouble. And we'll never tell our parents about that night
mm-hmm.
that we almost got caught by the police or we were almost running around or, you know, whatever it is. So, I mean, not teens... Kids will be kids, and we as parents have to roll with some of the stuff that they say that comes out of their mouth. That's
exactly.
Way inappropriate.
Exactly. And rolling with it also falls into pick your battles.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had parents that said, you know, I know that this is what they're doing.
Exactly.
and I'm confronting them with it and I go, is that the battle you want to pick right now?
Exactly.
You know, they smoked cigarettes, okay? Is that the battle you want?
Right.
Because let me tell you a few stories of some other kids I've dealt with that right. are involved with things much more serious.
Exactly. It's so true. There are a lot, I mean, some of the stories you hear, mm-hmm. I know, are hairy. What are some of the hairiest stories that you can tell me that you've heard about kids? You know, like that word, hairy. What are some of the scariest things that you've heard about that kids have gotten into, who you've had to kind of pick up?
Well, a more recent one, and I've had ones myself that go back, and I don't want to be out there scaring parents and telling them stories. I
mean, right.
We've transported in excess of 14,000 teenagers.
Right.
So trust me, we've got a lot of them. But just recently, you know, Craigslist is a new thing now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what we found, we had two girls that ran away from Orange County, California, and we located them about 4 days later, and they had already hooked up with some guys in a
right.
neighboring county
uh-huh.
That had listed them on Craigslist for prostitution.
Oh, my God.
So this is in 4 days, and this
right.
is a 14 and 15-year-old girl.
And they were clueless. The girls had no idea what had happened.
I mean, they weren't really clueless, but it was what some of these people do.
Predators.
Yeah, predators.
Yes.
They start to romance them themselves. One of these guys was very handsome. He was in his 20s.
Right.
And, you know, that's how they get girls into prostitution. You
right.
know, is they'll start something. You know, we really need this money. I need you to just do this for me, but understand that I'm the one that really loves you and I'm going to take care
oh,
of you.
Oh, sure.
But I just need this. So fortunately, when we found them,
yep.
I mean, yep. the ads had already been placed, but we found them before they actually acted on any of them.
Yes. Exactly.
So,
I got a letter from Julie a while back, and Julie is 15, and I don't know if it's her real name, but she says, "Dear Dr. Michelle, I ran away from home too. I was partying a lot, and I hated my parents because I thought they just wanted me to be miserable." Does that sound right?
Yeah.
We want you to be miserable.
Yeah,
that's our job.
It's a goal.
Right. She said, to other kids who want to run away, I want you to know it's scary out there. I'm telling you, the people that you will meet will never love you or give you safety like your parents do, no matter how bad they are. My only advice is, if you plan on not going home, be very careful. Find somewhere safe to stay. Do not trust people that you just meet. Just be careful. So Julie, I guess, did this, and I don't know what the outcome is, and I hope she's safe. And it seems like she came home because she's saying those are really the only people. Maybe they resolved it, and it worked out good. Another, Caitlin wrote me, and she said, "Dear Dr. Michelle, my younger brother recently returned from running away from home for 6 months.
Wow.
Boy, they needed you.
Mm-hmm.
They needed you. It actually ended up being one of the better things to happen to our family. It was hard at the time, and it's taken a few years to settle out, but now we don't fight as much anymore because there are more important things. It taught us the meaning of unconditional love because there was immediate forgiveness all around. This is what parents really need to hear, too.
Right.
Not scream and yell and get crazy on them as soon as they're found and come home.
Well, both of these teams they're ahead of the game.
Yes.
You know, they're ahead of the game. They're already starting to see, you know, what's really important.
Yes. And she said, there may have been simpler solutions to the problems in our family before my brother ran away, but in time, something will work. I don't know what your situation is, but if it's possible for you to return home, you may find yourself more welcome than you expect. You are definitely, though unfortunately, not the only one who feels the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you're right. I think a lot of, you know, kids do think that, oh my gosh. I mean, they're so angry and they're so full of, you know, just lack of any kind of impulse control. And they're gone. And they'll call a friend, I'm so pissed at my parents. Can I come over to your house? And then, you know, then they go from there to another place and another place because they think they can hide. And with your company, they can run, but sometimes they can't hide because you do have those investigators that get right on the job and start really finding those kids.
Right.
Why don't we give your number?
That would be great.
So folks can get some help if they have some issues going on.
That would be great. Our phone numbers are area code 714-898-9696, and we have a toll-free number. It's 800-899-8585. That's a U.S. toll-free number. So for those of you calling from other countries, you can use the 714-898-9696. And the nice part about internet radio is we know that this can reach anywhere in the world.
Exactly.
And we have located kids from other countries as well.
Wow.
One of the things, I'm involved in what's called the World Association of Detectives. I'm now the chairman of the board.
Great.
And this is an organization of investigators. It's an 83-year-old organization of some of the top investigators throughout the world.
Yes.
So
yes.
When we get calls, and we
right.
do, we'll get calls from somebody saying, look, my child's run away. We're in London.
Right.
Can you help me?
Exactly.
Well, it's not going to be cost effective for me to go there, but I'm going to give you somebody in London that's going to be able to help you.
That's incredible. So you guys have a network, and you can. And I know you're on the plane a lot as well around this country.
Right.
I've talked to you several times saying, you want to be on my show this week? Well, I've got to get on a plane and go back east or whatever, because you are in the process of transporting and or looking for a kid or kids who have run away in that area because they've called the parents. They're at their wits' end.
Exactly.
You know, so that's an incredible service you provide. Now, kids, if you're listening out there, and parents, again, got another story that I'll share real briefly.
Perfect.
And this is anonymous. Dr. Michelle, I ran away with my boyfriend. I was frightened because I didn't know how long I'd be on the streets for. I had no money and nowhere to stay. I was only wearing a skirt and a shirt, and it was cold at night. And that's the scary thing, too. Kids, you know, they don't think. They're gone. Impulse control. Oh, I got my boyfriend. He'll take care of me. I was, we slept rough for 3 nights in a building site that was abandoned. It was awful. We had no food, so my boyfriend and his friend stole money to buy us some. I didn't do the stealing myself, but we were hungry, and when you are desperate, you do things you wouldn't normally do.
Right.
We lived like that for 3 days, and then on the fourth day, my boyfriend's friend said we should go and stay with his uncle, who had a house. My boyfriend's friend stole a car for us to drive to the uncle's house. When we got there, he wasn't home. We couldn't find the spare key. The only way we could get in was through a small kitchen window, which I could fit through. Some of the neighbors must have seen us and called the police because they turned up and arrested me. It turned out that my boyfriend's friend had lied. It wasn't his uncle's house. He had scoped out the house apparently and found that there was no one there. He used me to break in, and I was so naive I didn't realize.
Well,
And he apparently, the so-called friend, went in and stole from the house. Unfortunately, he booked, and the kids were stuck there. She was given a 12-month sentence. Her boyfriend and his mate went to prison.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and she got away lucky.
She did.
Because the reality of it is that had he not scoped it out and there was somebody in there, they could have killed her. I mean,
they could have killed her.
They could have shot her. And,
exactly.
You know, and it reminds me again of another situation.
Yeah.
where I go back to the fact of communication being so important, communication with your parents. We located a boy who had run away, and the story that we got, and first I'll tell you what happened while he ran away. Okay. He ran away. He stole his parents' car. He met up with some other kids, and the parents had a Mercedes, so they just thought this was the greatest thing. They took them to some drug dealers. They set it up to where they bought some drugs. The drug dealers then ripped them off.
Of course.
You know, and
dumb kids.
You know, so they got beat up for that. They did get to their own vehicle. Then they took off, and in taking off with the vehicle, the drug dealers went after them because they wanted the car also.
Sure.
Okay. They then wrecked the car. The kid got a broken leg in the wreck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And when we picked him up from now a hospital after his leg was better to take him to a psychiatric program.
Good.
I said, you know, I don't understand. I go, why did you do this? Why did you put yourself in this situation? And he said, well, I had been busted before for marijuana.
Right.
And my parents said that if that happened again,
right,
I was going to get sent away to a program. And I go, well, what happened? And he said, well, I got caught at school with cigarettes and I thought my parents were going to send me away to a program.
Okay. Yeah.
He said, so for that reason, you stole their car, you hooked up with drug dealers,
right,
you got mugged and wrecked the car and broke your leg. And when I sat down with the parents said, we really didn't care about the cigarette deal.
Right.
That wasn't a big deal because they were smokers themselves.
Right.
So I said, do you understand how your lack of communicating with your parents,
exactly,
how it connected, it took you on this level of destiny that would have never happened?
Exactly. And that's what I always tell a lot of the teens who come in to see me or who email me or whatever. Do not assume what they're thinking. And
right,
I think this is one of the biggest problems, and for parents too.
But exactly.
Do not assume what's happening. A perfect example of what you were just talking about. See, oh my gosh, I got busted for smoking cigarettes. Now I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, I have kids who've been, as they call it, burned. You know, I got burned. That means they got busted for pot, usually,
right,
or drugs on them by their parents.
Oh yeah.
And they got tested. And now they're suspended. I mean, they're they put them restricted. You know, you have to come home right after school. You can't go out, and you know, things like that. So, being burned, you know, you have to pay the consequences. And sometimes they can't deal with paying the consequences, and it's really scary. I put it out there about 3 weeks ago on my website. I was asking parents what their point of view is. Are teens different these days? What do you think?
It's interesting when you talk about it's a great question. Are teens different today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me read you a quote.
Yes.
And then
cool.
Those of you listening, I'm going to pause for a moment and you tell me when this was written. Okay?
Okay.
The quote is, youth today loves luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should be working. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, they guzzle their food, and they put their feet on the table and tyrannize their elders. Now, when do you think that quote was made?
When, Alan?
Socrates.
Oh!
In the year 500 B.C.
Yep. Sounds like my teens I see.
And I tell kids that, and parents as well, but I tell them when they go, but you don't understand, or they go, but my parents don't understand.
Right, right.
You know, and I go, I'm talking to the parents and they go,
right,
they go, but my kids don't understand because
right,
they do this. Or they say, I'm the only one that this happens to.
That's right.
Go, no.
Exactly.
You're not that unique.
Guess what? You're not that important. We love you. And you know, it is. It's one of the two major phases that teens go through too. They have it in psychoanalysts. It's one of them is the imaginary audience, which means that everyone's always watching them.
Yes.
Therefore, oh my God, I'm fat. I have a zit. I'm, you know, whatever the girls and guys think these days. I mean, and that's been going on probably since Socrates too.
That's right.
And the other one is this feeling of total empowerment that they can do and can push their bodies to the limit. They can think any thoughts. And there's no one has ever thought these thoughts before, never ever felt these horrible depressive feelings you know, before.
Mm-hmm. Or in the same sense, in the other direction, I'm invincible.
That's totally it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Hence the little girl who can run away with her boyfriend in a little shirt and a short skirt and, you know, spend all night in an abandoned building for three nights. And she was in a cold part of the country, too, apparently mm-hmm. back east. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. Some of the parent stories who responded to me, and mm-hmm. I don't know, I'll get your feedback on this one. Let's see here. Dear Dr. Michelle, teens today are exposed to way more media, sex, violence, drugs, world threats like terrorists and so on. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You think so? Electronics did not exist when I was a kid. No PC, cell phones, video games, or MP3s. Today, teens feel they can't live without them. Yes, comma, they can. Mm-hmm. Teens feel they're entitled to have all this stuff just because it's available. Teens today don't know the value of money and are lazy. Sounds like a pretty a disgruntled parent.
Yes.
They have poor work ethics and want everything for nothing. This sounds like most parents, what they're thinking, not what they're really going to say to their kids. Teens lack respect for authority. They've been given way too much power over life situations. They're not experienced enough or developed enough to make the decisions for themselves, as they're now being allowed to do. When I was a teen, my parents had control. Today, teens are out of control.
Well, much of what they say are accurate, but it's all in how you look at
mm-hmm.
it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we are setting the examples.
Yes.
Whatever it is that they say. So if you have a teen that says, I have to have this, but if dad's got two recliners and a flat screen TV in the bonus room and has one in the bedroom.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, so we're setting the example.
Exactly.
Another example was in regards to the situation of war. Somebody was asking me in regards to gangs because their child had joined a gang. And they said, I don't understand the attraction. Why do they do this? You know, and this is so wrong. And I said, well, let's think about this for a minute. They're watching TV and they're looking at it. And essentially what they see on TV is, we're going to war over turf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the parent now is asking me, why would my child join the blankety blank street gang that is fighting over turf,
right.
Go. We're setting the example.
Exactly.
So whatever it may be, if it's the way you communicate with your child, when you have a mm-hmm. parent that goes, my child doesn't give me any respect, that little so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Where do you think they picked that up?
Exactly. No, and I mean, it's true. And I think that parents need to hear, and we're not dumping on you guys out there, parents and everything, but, you know, it's the old behavioral thing. You model the behavior for them. Mm-hmm. And since they're little beings, they're going to sponge it up and get what you're modeling. So sadly, if you're modeling abuse or you're smoking pot, you know, and they know that,
yep.
or you're getting high or you're an alcoholic or you're a crack addict or you're, you know, snorting cocaine on the side. And then you go, oh, daddy's just a little, mommy's just a little on the edge today,
yeah.
you know, and they're open and free about it. You're modeling the behavior. You're modeling the anger. If you have like angry outbursts,
right.
Oh, and you wonder why your kid at 14 starts saying "F you."
Mm-hmm.
You're an asshole. You know. Well, hello. What have you been modeling on the phone to your friends, or on the TV, or to your wife, or to your husband, or to your, you know, whatever? It's everything that the parents are modeling. The kids are soaking up, and they're getting. Hey, that's okay. I can do that, and I can
right.
talk to my friends who I don't like that. And I can be verbally abusive. And then, of course, I can get high because mm-hmm. I can't deal with this stuff right now. And you know what? Dad and mom do that.
Right.
So I can do that.
Right. And you touched on a good point. We are using we. Okay. This isn't a we know better and you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
We are parents also. We have the same struggles. And believe me, one of the things that puts us in a position to be able to help is the fact that your
yes.
child already knows your buttons.
Yes.
Okay.
They do.
Just like my child already knows my,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
my children know my buttons. And in fact, and I've told parents when I had an 8-year-old, and I used to tell them, and I said, you would have a better chance at getting my 8-year-old to go to sleep at 8:30, you know, for his bedtime.
Right.
Because I'm going to get, can you read me one more story? Can you rub my back? Can I have a glass of milk?
Oh,
and
God,
so
the
on.
Good old days, huh?
Right. But we get all of these things. And then, so you out there would probably have a better chance just because my child doesn't know your buttons. My child knows my buttons.
Right.
So in the same situation now, when we're working with your 15-year-old that knows your buttons,
right.
okay, they don't know our buttons.
Exactly.
That's what gives us the advantage.
No, it's really true. And parents need to apply that sometimes. And you have to think of how they can, you know, trigger your emotions, how they can get you to react to them so that they have justification for behaving, you know, badly, mm-hmm. as we would say. So it's a really important thing too.
Right. And when we were talking about runaways,
yeah.
when you mentioned, you know, talk to your aunt, you know, so it's from the standpoint, you know,
yeah.
if you've got this, you know, Aunt Barbara that is wonderful,
right.
and,
right.
you know, they might be able to help just because of the fact that now your child doesn't know that particular aunt's buttons.
Exactly. No, it's really true. I mean, support systems, any other parent who you can talk to out there, anybody, a friend, a parent's friend, you know, who you trust or feel comfortable with, because sometimes kids just do feel like they're overwhelmed and they can't share with their parents. And it's tough because we don't have manuals. I mean, it's like a light switch. I hear this so often from parents who come in to see me who have problems with their teens. It's like, it was like a light switch. They went into middle school and mm-hmm. they became a different human being. I have a parent who recently came in the other night. She said, the night my son graduated from middle school, the night they had the ceremony, he was a good kid and everything was great, and and the whole family came out. He said the night they had the party, the graduation, he got in trouble. And ever since then, middle school,
that's
he's been on the run.
That's the night the aliens came and took him.
That's exactly right. They started spotting those right. saucer-like vehicles coming down from the sky.
Right. But yeah. the beauty of it is that the aliens bring them back. Okay. They go through this time, and when the parents say to me, I don't see an end in sight.
Yeah.
Okay, there is an end in sight.
Right.
The aliens do bring them back as their hormones kind of catch up.
Yes.
And I know lots of parents that now have incredibly wonderful relationships because I get the emails or the phone
yes.
calls
yes.
and they talk about how great a relationship they have with their yes. child now
yes.
who's 20.
Yes. Exactly. No, it's amazing too. I hear that around 18-ish
yeah.
because they are now adults. Per se, and they can really get out there and make their own mistakes and screw up. And you know what? If you crash your car, you're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get busted, you get to pay for it. You're 18 now.
Yep.
So, I mean, but at the same time, there is a psychological shift. There is that shifting. The hormones are shifting a little bit again, and a lot of it is the chemical thing that we just have to roll with too. But they're getting more life experiences. They have had scary experiences
right.
and they've learned how to like foxes cleverly get out of them and how to get what you need out in society by talking a little nicer or by bribing your parents and kissing their butts. But I mean, truly, about that time, you're going to start hearing some apologies. You're going to start hearing some a little more rational decisions about what
mm-hmm.
they do. Still, of course, irrational things and emotional things. But for the most part, there is a little bit of a change. Folks, there is help
yes.
out there.
There's a light at the end of that tunnel.
Exactly. And by the way, I was also kind of helping some folks out how to talk to their teen. You know, when they get home, how do you talk to them? When your company goes out and finds them, maybe, and gets them. Maybe you don't have to take them to a program, right?
Right.
You might just go ahead and find them through their resources because of your detective services of over
right.
30 years and your company, West Shield Adolescent Services. You will go out there and really eke out these little beings and where they may be hiding and bring them back to their parents.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And in many cases, what we will do is we will set them up with a family contract. Because we'll sit down with them and even before we will find them, I'll ask
right.
them, what's your plan?
Uh-huh.
You know, how many times has your child run away?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is the seventh time.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Right.
Okay. If they don't have a plan, we're
right.
going to help them gain a plan.
That's
and
great.
And we're either going to introduce them to professionals that can help them.
Right.
I mean, like yourself.
Right.
Where they can go and talk to somebody that can help them. Or if they seem like they can kind of start heading in the right direction, I mean, we give them a family contract, and we will work with them on it
exactly.
and get everybody to sign on. We want the kids to sign on. We want the parents to sign on and say, if there is just a little more structure,
right.
then
right.
everybody will know. Because in most cases, either the parent or the child is saying, well, I didn't think that. I thought this meant that.
And there you go. There's the assumptions we were talking about.
That's right.
Earlier.
There's the assumption. Go,
right.
you know what? If we put it down in the contract, then you'll know that means that.
This is what you can and cannot do
right.
in
and
our
this,
house.
And this is the consequence for
right.
that.
It's, and yes.
Yeah.
And here are the rewards you will get.
Exactly.
If you follow the contract and the plan, you will be able to go out with your friends at these times. You know,
yep.
depending on the age, of course. But I mean, you will be able to If you're home by this time, mm-hmm. you can go out and do what you want. Just call me and let me know where you're at.
Right.
Call me if you're having sleepovers. And we know about sleepovers.
Oh, yeah.
When they're 16 and 17. They're not sleeping over at their guy friend's house. They're sneaking out with the girls, and the girls are lying and telling their parents that they're with their girlfriend, and they're finding some place where there's no parent home, and they're sleeping together. So,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
But like you said earlier, they think that they've thought this up themselves.
Oh, yes.
We never did that.
That's right. Amazing. They're so bright. But some of the things I talk to about with parents when their teen finally comes home. You know, when Alan Cardoza's company has gotten those teens and they come home, what a wonderful idea to do a contract with them. But when I say, mm-hmm. when they come in the door, greet them lovingly. Greet them lovingly. Don't freak them. Ah, where were you?
Yes.
You know, greet them. Oh my God, you're safe. That's the first thing that you need to imply to them.
Absolutely.
We love you. Thank God you're safe. And that's
Absolutely.
The most important thing. And also, take a break. Do not jump off. Where have you been? Take a deep breathe. I teach deep breathing and relaxation mm-hmm. exercises. So when they walk in that door, you can calmly not be all over them. You know, you're all over me, Mom. No, don't do that. You're all over me, Dad.
And again, you are absolutely right. And we find ourselves in that position at times as we're bringing them back. We've already prepared the child as we're bringing them back. We're driving back. We're spending time with them. We're getting them
That's
prepared.
Wonderful. Yeah.
But then what will happen is that the parent that responds your way, we then leave one person sitting with the child. We take the parent aside and we go, now we need to spend a little time with you.
Exactly.
And to point out the exact things that you're saying.
Exactly. And ask... in a relaxing manner, all sit down in a roundabout, and if you have specialists who, you know, are with you and you, mm-hmm. when you bring that child back home, finally, and you're all sitting in the living room or whatever, calmly sit down and ask, and listen!
Yes.
Do not interrupt. You know, do not command, do not criticize, do not do those things. Sit and listen, and ask, why did you leave?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also tone. I try to express to parents how to use the tone of their voice and the loudness of their voice
mm-hmm.
because it's all about approach as well.
Right.
And so, I mean, because they're so sensitive at this point.
What I was going to say, which and that's actually part of the training that we have. Part of the training that we have besides crisis, we have nonviolent crisis intervention training.
Yes.
But we have NLP, which as you know is neuro-linguistic programming.
Right.
Which not only it is your tone.
Exactly.
It is your cadence. You know, and it's the way in which you pace them.
That's
so
right.
As they start, if they come back and their anxiety level is really, really high,
right.
Okay, you can go in at the same level as them, but then you can bring them down.
Right.
So as you pace them down and mm-hmm. as you talk a little bit mm-hmm. softer, you know, you slow the cadence down a little bit, all of a sudden you can feel them come down with you, where now everybody's in a much better position to be able to talk, you know, logically mm-hmm. and to be able to be more loving in your conversation.
Mm-hmm. And right on. I mean, it mm-hmm. is. It's the speech, the speed, the intonation, the loudness. It's also the physical body movements. When someone is, you know, and dads many times, you know, do this. They get very outwardly with their arms and their hands, and they're moving closer, and their bodies are, you know, they're forward, and their hands are up in the air. Why did you do this? And it's very scary. It's like, oh shit, no wonder I ran away from home.
It can be very intimidating to anyone.
Exactly. So it's push back all of those, you know, just tone down the movements, the speech, the voice, talk quieter, breathe, mm-hmm. speak slower. And look them in the eyes kindly. Don't have hate. Don't be hating. Mm-hmm. You know, have the lovingness like they ran away for a reason. And you need to hear what's going on. Now, and it's not your fault, by the way, folks, a lot of times. I mean, yes, if you're an abuser, if you're a drug user, if you're, you know, constantly screaming, whatever. Indeed, you need to take a look at that because kids will really think seriously about running away in a home like that.
Right.
The so-called
16%
or whatever.
Right.
But
there's also that part of hormones that kicks in that you're not going to have any control over, no matter how good you're doing. When that person has that first level of puppy love, I just have to be with them, and we moved away, and I just had to be there. You know, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong as a parent. That's just going to happen.
Exactly. And that's really relief sometimes for some people because they're always coming and saying, what did I do wrong? And, you know, guilt, you know, they've got to take a break from the guilt mm-hmm. and just say, take a look at definitely what they did wrong, possibly. What did they do to contribute to this? You know, what were some of the accusatory statements? What was the behavior? What behavior were you modeling? You know, are you guys doing drugs? Are you getting drunk all the time? You know, oh, I'm not an alcoholic. I just socially drink. Well, you're hammered on Friday and Saturday nights, you know, socially. Yeah, we go out to parties and we live our kids. You know, and that's another thing is parents who don't really monitor their kids enough because they're so busy still living their lives that they want to go out and do what they want to do. But they're not monitoring. Where are you going to be? You need to check in. Whose parents' house are you going over to? I want to talk to their parents. And this is all just monitoring and part of that contracting that you talked mm-hmm. about, too. That's a really good idea. I think the parents should do. So.
Well, and you bring up a great point with the drugs and the alcohol because, you know, their brain is not completely it's not completely developed.
Right.
And to add drugs and alcohol to the component at that time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. We just looked at
the, we both just looked at the clock at the same time and went, "Oh."
Yeah, yeah. No, you're
so,
right.
So, yeah, it's not completely developed. So when the kids think, oh, well, you're just trying to hold me down and stuff. No, there is a lot more to it than that.
Yes, exactly. There really is. There's a lot more to it. And, you know, you guys, if you've been listening to, you know, the show since we started, let me just give you, you know, some numbers, too. And we can also, I really urge you to listen to Alan's show every Monday at 11 o'clock right here on LA Talk Radio. It's a really, it's called Answers for the Family. And it really, you take live calls, you read letters, you tell people information about your West Shield Adolescent Services.
Right.
You transport and you locate runaways. You have crisis intervention services.
Right. And if you want to, if you want to hear some of the other shows,
yes.
It's the website where all the shows are archived is answersforthefamily.com, and that's the numeral 4, answersforthefamily.com. We can also take your questions there or you know, send an email in to Michelle. She'll take your questions.
Sure.
You know, We're both in here in the studio different days,
but
we can certainly collaborate and get back with you on some answers.
We sure can. We can work as a team together and, you know, figure out how to help you and, you know, answer any questions you may have. If it's getting really intense with your teen, teens, if you want to contact us, if you're having some problems, we'd love to hear from you as well. And my website, by the way, is Dr. Michelle Therapy. It's Dr. Michelle with 2 L's therapy.com. And you can find me, you know, there as well. You can also find both of us here mm-hmm. on LA Talk Radio. Just,
that's
you know,
right.
LATalkRadio.com. And then on our, you'll see our shows specifically. You just click on our shows.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Answers for the Family. That'll be Alan Cardoza. And, you know, of course, on the couch, which we are. Still, we're still on the couch, aren't we? We're hanging out. We're having
absolutely.
A good day today.
Absolutely.
You know, so
it's very comfortable in here, folks.
It is, guys. And we want to make it comfortable for you, too. If you ever, you know, like I said, would like to write us or call us, we're always here to hear you. So what else can I give you? How about thank you for listening, folks. And thank you so much for coming in.
Well,
it's
thanks
so
for
nice.
Having me. Thanks it's, for having me. This is great.
You're such an expert. I really admire the fact that you've been a private detective for 30 years and you specialize in helping adolescents and their families. I mean, that's an amazing skill. And you have you're a mellow guy. Folks, I want to tell you, he is a mellow man. He's just... You have a lot of patience, honey, and you must have. And you've been there and done that, though, for a long time.
Well,
you learned.
I appreciate that very much. And to me, I just look at it, we're part of the team. It
exactly.
takes a team of people out there. We need the therapist out there. We need everybody to be able to help all of us work with our families.
Yeah. And thank you so much again, Alan
You're
Cardoza.
Welcome.
And this is Dr. Michelle with you, and I'm so happy we've been on the couch today. We've had a great show. And again, if you have any questions or anything, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com or, you know, find me also right here at latalkradio.com, and we'd love to hear from you, okay? Also, let me mention that promotional services for this show are brought to you by my new sponsor, Mortgage Sciences. Yahoo! And you can get the best home loan in today's crazy real estate market if you're feeling insecure and scared about all the supposed bad loans that screwed up our economy. Mortgage Sciences is your one-stop company for the government-sponsored loan programs that they're now coming out with. So you can call 818-703-5952 and they can help you. Mortgage Sciences. at AOL.com. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Dr. Michelle, getting off the couch. You can stay on if you'd like, though.
I'll relax.
Okay, cool. Have a good one, guys.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. Oh, I wouldn't know what to say to you.